Stimulus checks. It's all I hear people talking about. And then what? No one wants to call in?
Let us know. Come on.
Ashley, how'd you do with yours?
I didn't get mine yet. A friend I know makes 3 times as much as I do, and she got hers.
If she makes 3 times as much as you, she probably should not have gotten a check. No?
Thank you.
That's true. But she got one, and I did not. And what the hell?
What the hell?
Wasn't like 25 grand and up you weren't getting one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people walk around work trying to figure out how much you get by saying, did you get your stimulus check?
Right. They're fishing.
Because if you say, I'm not getting one, well, now you know they make more than 75.
Right.
If they say, yeah, I did, then you know they make less.
Right. I did not get mine, and I would like mine. Yeah.
Are you checking the mailbox every day?
Yep.
Your direct deposit?
What are you planning to do with the money?
I didn't really have a plan, to be honest with you, but I could use it. And my friend just got it in her food. Stuff around the house.
You do have a plan. Disney. Stuff around the house. Like a bathroom shelf.
More shelves, yeah.
Well, I got to have some place to put my toilet paper.
Karen in Norwalk.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I did get my check on the 15th.
All right.
I was one of the few. And I'm using it to pay towards my car payment.
There you go, see?
Yeah.
Pay towards? It's $1,200. How much is your car payment?
Well, $257, but I want to pay the $1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get it down.
Because I hate having the car payment.
Right. Pay it down.
See? That's a great idea.
Is it?
Well, they're saying paying off your debts with your stimulus check is the best thing to do. Like the credit cards you have the highest interest rate on.
Right.
Try and get rid of those.
How much? What do you do for a living?
I'm a caregiver.
Okay.
I've called in before about
all
that.
Right. Very
when,
good.
I was the one traveling.
All right, so you're not in risk of getting laid off.
No,
you're
but my boyfriend hasn't gotten his yet. Nobody, a lot of people I know haven't received it at all. He's on Social Security, and they're supposed to get one too, but he hasn't received it.
Wow,
that sucks.
So there's a lot of people I know that haven't. My son did.
So why don't you give him the $1,000 instead of paying down your car?
You're funny.
She's a caregiver.
You guys make me laugh in the morning.
All right, thank you. Funny joke. You're funny.
Yeah.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We're talking about the stimulus checks.
Yes.
Did you get them? Did you spend them?
What'd you do?
You're waiting?
No.
Was it right? Did the right amount come in?
Nope.
Andre in Naugatuck.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Andre. I spent mine already.
Nice.
Oh, goody. What'd you spend it on?
Mortgage.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Good.
Buzzkill.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you out of work now?
I am traveling to work right now.
Okay, good. Well, you have a job, so that's good.
Right, that helps.
Everyone in your house still working?
Yes.
Good.
Yep.
All right, so it was like a bonus. You got a bonus check.
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah, that I would say that's the way we went, and my wife's went towards a couple other things, but mine went straight the following day. I had mine about 2.5 weeks ago.
It's weird how it's all different timing.
Dude.
There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Right, with the same household, both same time.
Right.
All I know is when I got mine, well, I didn't get it. I got it put into the bank, and it said pending. And within a day or two, it was there after it said
the
pending.
The bank wanted to make sure the thing didn't go boing.
Right.
Correct.
All right. Thank you, Andre. Yes. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and keep up the good work, you
thank
guys.
You. Thank you, you, brother. It's weird. You get this check, you're like, oh, man, this is great. Like, such a nice thing for them to give me money. You know, my thought would be, that used to be mine.
Right.
Thanks for giving it back. It's like your neighbor coming over, giving you your hammer back.
Right.
Hey, I'm giving you a hammer. Well, that was my hammer.
Right.
So thanks for bringing it back.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm curious, though, this check, has it been mentioned, will it be the tax you want it?
No.
No? Okay.
No, we've covered that.
I wasn't sure.
One of the moments you just...
kind of glossed over.
Right.
I'm just double checking. Yeah. For those, I was asking for a friend. Yeah, that was it.
James in Southington.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hello.
Yeah, I got my same situation as the last guy. Was in there on Friday, pending all weekend, cleared on Monday. The wife and I added. So we got $2,900, you know.
All right, so.
Two of us and the kid.
Nice.
How old is the kid?
A year and a half.
Oh.
34.
What a great age.
Oh, my God. She's a hoot.
Yeah.
She is a hoot, chasing her around.
Yeah.
Oh, I got her a PlayScape.
I was going to say, she's walking?
Oh, she's running, climbing. She's in a climbing toddler.
Year and a half.
What's
the time frame here? So
yeah,
teething happens fast. Walking's at one? All right, so out of diapers by two, right? So not out of diapers yet.
No, she's still in diapers, but I.
So is AJ. So
it's walking.
Well, I'm reversing the process. I'm also teething.
Rush.
He is working on it.
I'm also teething.
At least he's putting his own on at this point.
Thank you. The pull-ups, man.
That's true.
I'm a big boy.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not too far behind you, AJ. It's
Thank
fine.
You. Appreciate that.
What do you buy a 1.5-year-old as a toy?
So
she's still putting things in her mouth, like chewing everything.
Yeah, well, that's like a new thing. Like the chewing everything is like when she was younger, like it was teething and
right.
She was chewing on teething toys.
Right.
And now she's, you know, I'm a very proud father of a. Oh, the window's cold. Let me lick it. And I'm going, oh, my God, the dog was licking that.
I
Stop
still
it.
Do that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
No, but it's
matter.
Weird because nope. They get food and they put it in their mouth. And they're like, oh, wow, this is excellent. So now it's like everything. Well,
goes
I don't
mouth,
know.
Yeah.
I've never tried a piece of paper before.
Or
Let me try
food. The dog's bowl.
I'm going to test it out.
Right.
I don't know. You know, it's like, oh, this piece of foam. Let me eat this. What?
Right.
No.
Let's exactly. just see.
And
right.
I
got to try it out.
Right.
Markers look cool. Smell great. I'm putting it in my mouth.
Where's the TV remote?
That hamster looks
I
delicious.
I had my very favorite.
I knew it.
All right. Bugs are tasty.
That wasn't the problem there, though.
Mm. All right, brother. Thanks for checking in.
All right. Bye.
Hey, good luck with what a fun time that is. 4 or 5 is the best, I think.
Really?
They're like the little mini me.
Gotcha. When does it go bad?
They think 7. You're the best. It never went bad for me. I was very lucky. Never went bad.
Right.
Yeah. I've heard stories.
Yeah.
I was a camp counselor.
When did it turn? Yeah.
One summer, and I had the 5-year-olds, and I was so pumped because they're old enough where they can go to the bathroom by themselves. You don't have to wipe them or clean them. They don't have to do all
that.
That
ain't happening. Garden hose. Thank you.
And they're still young enough where they listen to you. They're not like, you know, punk kids anymore. Like, I'm not going to do that.
You want to go for a swim?
Yeah, that's like the 7 and 8-year-old group.
Right. Mark the Goose Killer.
Morning, friend.
Good morning.
I got my check, and I spent it just as quick as I got it.
On what?
Goose killing products?
It was $2,900 between me, my wife, my daughter. My half went to the mortgage, and her half went to a generator that we bought for the house.
Wow.
Well, that's smart. The power goes out. And you're both still working?
No, she's at home. She's a hairdresser. I'm working.
Oh, all right. So you needed that because you lost income.
But his haircut looks really good right now, too, though. You have a haircut
in the house.
Yeah,
you'd think I'd have a fresh haircut every day, but I don't.
No, really?
Every day?
Well, we have a newborn at the house.
How fast is your hair growing?
There's no time.
Right.
Different style every day. Got a faux hawk today.
Yeah, I'm guessing she's all over that nose hair. Yeah, okay, that's got to go.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we got my daughter and a newborn at the house, so there's no time for nothing.
How old is your daughter?
She's 18 months.
And the newborn, just born, but
was born
boy or
April
girl?
2nd, April 2nd.
April 2nd.
Boy's the newborn, and my daughter's 18 months.
Wow, a boy and a girl.
No haircut.
Wait until your daughter turns like 13.
Yep.
The power struggle between her and the mom.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
I gave my mom a run for her money.
That'll be when you'll be going to all the games with your son. Like, yeah, we got things to do. We got to go play catch now.
My boy will escape.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right. So this is a person. If we come up with a coronavirus vaccine, you will not be in line to get it. Hey, Del.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning. You're an anti-vaxxer, as they're called?
I would say that I am vaccine hesitant. I am worried about the risks of vaccines, and I've done a lot of investigation into that with my nonprofit.
Gotcha. Hmm.
Vaccine hesitant.
Yeah.
But this is a deadly virus.
They lopped everybody into anti-vaxxers, but the truth is the greatest number of people were all pro-vaxxers who had their children injured by vaccines, and then they stopped vaccinating because they don't want to hurt their children anymore. That is the largest group of people that we call anti-vaxxers. We should really call them ex-vaxxers, but I don't think I'm on here to talk about the semantics of how we lop people into slogans.
Because you are called anti-vaxxers in the media. And when you said vaccine hesitant, it's a different vibe.
Yeah.
And so a little history is good. So, so if they're, let's just say you have kids and then they say, well, to get back to school, you're going to have to get this coronavirus vaccine. You would not do that?
Well, first of all, we have to talk about what the vaccine is and when it's being offered. You know, currently, this is the most dangerous vaccine ever attempted. Every animal trial that has attempted a coronavirus vaccine so far, the animals died. They had organ failure. They had something called antibody immune enhancement, where the vaccine looked like it was working. It was creating antibodies. The animals looked healthy. But then when they challenged them with the coronavirus, those animals, their bodies overreacted to the virus. And so they got sicker than they would have been had they not had the vaccine. Many of them died. This is a potential that's being discussed by Anthony Fauci on television, who said there is a potential this vaccine could make people more sick. We know that Dr. Peter Hotez, that attempted to create a coronavirus vaccine, said this before our Congress. So this is a very dangerous vaccine.
And but that's one, the half a dozen or so vaccines that are being developed. One is being tried on humans now.
What I'm saying is every attempt prior, this, every drug company that attempted this over the last decade since SARS coronavirus had this same problem. So now you have 70 drug companies stepping up to attempt a vaccine. And so the question will be, can they get around this antibody immune enhancement? And so my issue is, how will we know that the vaccine doesn't cause that issue, especially when the scientists that have been working on it don't know why it happens? And you can imagine a problem when you have Bill Gates saying that this vaccine is going to be given to everyone in the world. They're talking about forced vaccination programs. Can you imagine a vaccine that's given to everybody that all of a sudden when we come in contact with a virus, it looked like we were healthy, the vaccine looked like it was safe, but then all of a sudden people start dying because the vaccine made them more vulnerable to what maybe would be a common cold or virus?
Well, I think it would be tested first, no?
Well, so how do you test that, right? The one thing we're not allowed to do so far, it's unethical to put a person in, do a challenge study. The way we can do on animals, you cannot put a person in, contact with the virus. That's illegal. We don't do that in studies. All we do is see, does their body create the antibodies? Well, in this situation with this vaccine, those antibodies were present. It looked like the vaccine was working, but instead it made the animals more vulnerable to death. So we have a real problem with how do we test? This is one of the big moral questions.
I don't really look into any of this stuff. I'm just like, oh, does that work? All right, give it to me.
Yeah, really?
No. See, yeah. That's the difference between you and I. I've been a nonprofit that's investigated exactly this for the last 4 years.
So but if I had somebody else on the show who was pro-vaccination, they'd have different statistics and information, right?
Actually, no. I'm quoting Dr. Peter Hotez, one of the biggest pro-vaxxers in the world, and Dr. Paul Offit, two people that are spokespeople for the vaccine movement, have come out and said we need to be very careful with this vaccine. We should not be rushing these trials, which leads to the biggest problem we have is anytime you see science and rushed put together, that is one of the most dangerous combinations you could possibly have.
That sounds
right. That's where my biggest issue is.
I wasn't really paying attention in science class, but that sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to take our time. We want to be very careful because especially when we're talking about a product that they are intending for every human being alive on the planet, we better get that one right because if we got it wrong, that could potentially be worse than any virus we ever dreamed of. A mistake with
a vaccine that
doesn't work correctly.
All right, thanks for coming on. You're an Emmy-winning former producer of the CBS talk show The Doctors, so you must know something
about
what you're talking about. All right, we'll link up to your stuff at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. Del, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah, let's see.
He said a lot in a short period of time.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's vaccinated for anything.
He said vaccine hesitant.
Yes.
So probably back when he was a kid, before he started looking into all this stuff.
Yeah.
So if they come up with a vaccine, AJ, you going to get it?
Yep. You?
I'm going to ask now, where'd you try it? Can I talk to anyone who's tried it?
I'll be like 25th in line. When I see, the other 20, okay, 24, okay, good.
Right.
Then I'll go, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll hang out in the waiting room for a while.
Yeah, so how's that going?
Good magazines you're reading here.
Yeah, I tried to call Jimmy. He was the first one to get the shot. No one picked up. Anyone check in on Jimmy?
I would imagine people could sign up to be volunteers to check this thing out, right?
Well, they're in human testing now.
Exactly, yeah. Right. I mean, I hate that they test on animals. That drives me nuts. Because an animal doesn't have any right to turn around and say no.
You'd rather have them test on
humans. Yeah. I mean, you got people in prison who are there for life. Okay, you know what? You killed somebody.
I sort of agree with you.
You killed somebody. Here's your chance to redeem yourself.
I believe they did this in back rooms during World War II.
But I'm saying you got lifers. I'm like,
I believe we may have advanced as a society since then.
Maybe give these people instead of doing life, you only get 50 years if you try this thing out.
My concern is that we still don't
make
know.
A deal.
Exactly. Take the deal. Yeah, make them a deal. By the time they'll be too old to kill anybody anyway. So you can outrun a 90-year-old with a knife this time. It's not a terrible idea, is it? No.
No. Reduce your sentence. Sign up for this trial.
Exactly. Done.
Interesting.
This way the poor little bunny rabbit or whatever they check out the stuff on doesn't die. The monkey, whatever they use.
Whatever it is.
Whatever they use.
Oh,
the mouse.
Stop using the mice. Stop using the rabbits. They can't say no.
It's amazing that you have this stance, but every Friday night you're cooking ribs in your smoker.
I haven't. Have you checked my Facebook page? I haven't done it in
just
a long
saying.
Time. Yeah.
You do eat meat.
You
though.
Eat a lot of meat.
It's been pizza lately now. So.
Okay.
Yeah, lately.
But those are
with pepperoni on it.
Hey, look, they killed the damn thing. The least you can do is eat it now. I tell you what, Phil.
How did they kill it?
It's already dead. I didn't kill it.
I tell you what, Phil.
It died from a failed test of the vaccine.
Why don't you munch out on the mouse or the monkey or the rabbit that they tested on that dropped dead, okay?
You know you're not already eating it.
You know what? It's hilarious. You can't have a stand around here without somebody being
I like
an idiot.
Your stand.
I do, too.
Make a deal with these prisoners.
I just like that you have an opinion on
this. They're in there anyway. What would you do? Would you sign up for maybe 20 less years on your sentence?
I like that you'd rather try it on a human and possibly kill a human than try it out on a mouse.
And this is a person who already killed somebody.
And when a mouse has a baby, she has 30 babies.
Yeah,
right?
But
it's
they're
a
cute.
Litter.
But they're cute. They're cute and fuzzy. And they didn't piss me off.
They're cute until they chew the inner liner of your Fairlane.
Yeah,
and then you want to kill them with a hammer.
I didn't want to kill her. I was just very upset. I screamed.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got a bunch of mothball. I have a little mouse in my garage right now. I'm smoking a cigar and doing my martini. He pops head up. I call
little
him Pete. Hey, Pete. Yeah.
Little Pete.
Hey, Pete.
Big Pete, little Pete.
Yeah, no, stop testing on the animals. You got these people. They killed somebody. Some people.
We heard you.
Some
murderers.
They murdered like some
bad people.
What about a guy who shot 12 people? Use him.
Right.
Here's your chance to redeem yourself to society.
All I'm saying is the passion that you're speaking with on this. You sound like those people.
An animal rights activist.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But you're the first person to go out and have a burger.
I have reduced my meat consumption. But
yeah, okay.
It's already dead.
AJ could actually be a good attorney. He will twist the truth to fit whatever he's talking about.
If it fits.
Yeah.
I'll make it fit.
Hey. That's how he does puzzles, too.
Exactly.
If the truth fits, you must have quit.
I'll pound that piece of puzzle if it fits.
If the truth fits, you must have quit.
That's why I don't do puzzles anymore. Because I've ruined like 9 puzzles.
Oh, boy. It's time for Dumbass News.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. TV anchor makes big boo-boo.
I get it.
Does anyone know Bill Ritter?
Yes. He's on, I believe it's ABC News.
In New York.
New York, yes.
All right. Well, he mistakenly said a New Jersey man, 26-year-old Jack Allard, who recovered from coronavirus, had died.
Oops.
This young man that you're looking at right there, 26-year-old Jack Allard, was in a medically induced coma after coming down with a virus after spending time on a ventilator, and the governor today announcing that Jack has died.
It was a long month, but slowly Jack rebounded. For Jack and for the hundreds more who have left our hospitals, we are hopeful.
I feel horrible. Jack is very much alive. Jack, we love you again.
Jack's like, I'm dead!
Wait a minute.
Hang on. You can see me, right? You can see me?
Can you hear me? Better.
Mary, don't you remember me? Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow, that sucks.
Yep. I would love to see video. I'd like to see the look on his face when it happened. Like those anchors on Family Guy when they realize they're on the air, like, you're caught in headlights.
Oh. Although it's better than the alternative, saying that someone has recovered this miraculous comeback.
Either way.
Like, that is true. That's true.
Either way is bad.
Biden has done that. He's been on stage and he said, hey, Jimmy, how's your mother? Oh, yeah. That's right. She's been dead for 10 years.
I forgot.
I love the passion, the sadness in his voice.
Yeah.
When he's introducing the clip.
Oh, the introduction.
Yeah.
That you're looking at right there. 26-year-old Jack Allard was in a medically induced coma after coming down with a virus, after spending time on a ventilator, and the governor today announcing that Jack has died.
It was a long month, but slowly Jack rebounded.
It took a month because he was dead.
Right, yeah.
Right.
But they never say die over that hospital. Yes, yes.
They never say die.
Well, he was dead, but he recovered, yeah. He wasn't seriously
I feel
dead.
Horrible. Jack is very much alive. Jack, we
very
love you
much alive.
Again. Jack is alive and back home, and my deepest apologies for that. I was just misread everything, and I apologize, but he is alive, and we
misread.
Are grateful for that.
And yeah, Jack, we love right you. Now. You don't even know Jack. Maybe Jack
right.
The jerk.
Jack, we love you.
Jack, we love you.
If I...
Yeah, you know what that says? Please don't sue us.
Please don't
sue us.
Jack, we love you means please don't sue us.
Oh,
yes.
Can you sue for something like that?
I don't know. They sue on anything in these.
I don't know.
That's interesting. That's an interesting
trust
question
me.
Well,
there,
Norma said you could bring anyone to court.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not you win is the other question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, the governor on the show in 20 minutes. We're looking for questions. Go to the Chaz and AJ Facebook page. These would be questions we can actually ask.
Yeah, no statements, please.
And 1 hour from now, Yale's coronavirus point person, Dr. Choi. Everyone wearing their masks?
Not everybody.
No.
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 I'm not.
There were offenders yesterday.
Let me try again. Everybody wearing their masks? No.
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 No. No. No.
Nope.
Thank you guys for participating.
No problem. No rehearsals.
All right. AJ, you were at Walmart yesterday?
Yep, and there were three people I saw without masks. Two dudes in their 20s, early 20s, and some lady walking around. Otherwise, everybody had masks on. And there was one cashier.
So everybody but two.
Right, but there were the three. There was one lady and then two guys. And then the cashier... Was this obese cashier.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So they were customers or not customers?
They were customers.
Customers.
Two guys waiting online.
Okay.
And a lady walking around, also another customer, yes.
All right, so three customers, no.
Right, exactly. And then one cashier had her mask.
These customers, did they look healthy?
They did at the moment, yes.
Okay.
They did, yes. I don't know how they look now.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
That's right.
They look healthy
when I saw
them. You might
see them a week from now.
Yeah.
on television.
When I saw them yesterday on 12:31, they seemed okay.
All right.
Yeah.
No, but they were like young and they didn't seem like they had underlying health conditions. Not that you would know.
Yeah, no.
They looked okay.
They looked like they were in good, reasonably good shape.
They weren't like 90 years old.
They weren't hacking, coughing, they weren't bent over, nothing like that. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, the young punks.
They had all their limbs and everything, you know.
All right.
Their hair was washed.
Okay.
And then there was this one cashier. She's behind the plexiglass thing, but she's like not even behind it. She's like off to the side of it, and she had her mask pulled down to her chin.
Not good.
And she was,
no.
And I hate to say the word, but morbidly obese.
Okay.
And I'm like, what are you doing? I walked past her.
Why would that be part of the story?
Because
she probably has other health issues.
She didn't look healthy. Yeah. Like, okay. Besides being obese, she looked sickly.
Okay.
Like, there could be some like heart issues, whatever in there.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're just guessing, though. You're not a doctor.
Put it this way.
You didn't give her an exam.
She wouldn't be on the box of Wheaties. Put it that way, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
So you were concerned for her.
I was concerned for her, yes.
You would say if anyone should be wearing a mask,
She's there all day.
Right, dealing with the public.
Yeah, it's in the air. Someone out there must have it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, so I felt bad for her.
All right, what do you do if you're going into the store and you don't have a mask now that you have to basically wear them in the store?
Yeah.
Bob LeBon from LeBon's Market is on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How's it going?
It's going good. Every day's a new day.
There you go. A new adventure.
Yeah, yeah. Do you mean adventure when you say day? Every day's a new adventure day?
Yeah, it's really a moving target, and it just... always trying to stay out in front of it, so.
Yep.
Well, you guys were the first ones to do the whole checking the temperature. I don't think anyone else is doing that. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, we are, and a lot of other businesses are doing it for their employees, like my wholesaler, and I think Walmart is now doing it, checking it for their employees, at least, and other manufacturing places I know are doing it, but I don't know many other retailers that have instituted it yet, besides hospitals.
Yeah.
So you do this for your employees, for the people delivering stuff, and for the customers. And the customers have been receptive?
Yes. Again, it's at 99%. A few people aren't, but I think we're up to about 8 or 10 now that have had fevers. So
you doing the one-way aisles?
Yes, we are.
Cool.
I feel like you were ahead of the curve with the temperature checking.
Yeah, the temporal scanning.
So people were probably reacting more negatively then than now. I think more people get it now,
commonplace,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we were ahead of, I was waiting for extra masks. We've been now with our employees over 2.5 weeks wearing masks and just waiting for, I ordered another 8,000 so that I would have some for the customers to have if they didn't have any. So I would have started it earlier, but just with 420 people working for me, knocking on wood, I don't have anybody sick or infected yet.
Yeah, not for
and
you.
That's with 30,000 people walking through our doors, so it's really a miracle. So I'm just so blessed that we're keeping everybody safe.
That's pretty
good.
Amazing.
You're doing good.
Well, now you can buy masks at the door if you don't have one?
You're right. What we did is we have someone, they come in packets of 50, so someone puts gloves on and is all clean and sanitized. And then we individually wrap them in a brown paper bag, and then we put peel number 333. So if they don't have one, they can buy one at the register. They don't have to pay when they walk in the door. It's just really on the honor system. If they don't have a dollar, you know, and they're unemployed or laid off, then, you know, the mask is on us.
But
I was just worried if it was free, we'd see them out in the parking lot, like single use, and like the gloves that you're seeing in the parking lot. So
having
them,
disgrace.
You know, because I spent, you know, they're almost a buck each, so that's a lot of money to just give away. So, but I'm happy to give it to people that don't have a job right now. So
that's awesome. So everybody in the store, do you require a mask? Because I think the executive order is wear a mask if you can't stay 6 feet apart. And some people will read that as, well, the store is pretty big, so I can just come in without a mask. Are you requiring masks?
We are requiring. It's just almost impossible, and especially in our smaller stores, to keep the 6 feet distance. I mean, even though we have the shields in the deli and the shields in the front end, you know, as you're walking, you know, customers don't always abide by the up and down arrows. So, we just are trying to keep people safe. So, and again, it's 99%-something are okay with it, and I think the results, the data, showing that it is helping.
Do you notice that customers are on edge Do you see any stress in the stores?
No, I think they're really grateful, and I've had so many customers, and especially our associates, say, I feel safe shopping here with all the precautions we've
That's
done.
Great.
So I think it's actually increased our customer count. But I will say there are things that people can do to really improve the shopping experience.
Okay,
hold on.
Everybody.
Yeah?
Who goes into a grocery store, please pay attention. You're about to get important information.
All right. Shopping 101. So number one, have your list in place and preferably by the order that the store that you shop in. So if it's produce is first, have your produce list, have your deli list, have your meat list, and have your grocery, frozen and dairy by category, and then shop the store as you zigzag through and try to, you know, remain that one pattern. If you just go in without a list and say, let me see what's for dinner tonight or what do I think I need, you're going to bounce and zigzag, and with numbers or restriction as to how many people come to the store, if you're taking 35 minutes to shop, you're preventing someone else from getting in the store quicker. And, you know, sometimes it's raining out, and it's just disrespectful. So have your list. Know what you have at home. Get in, get out, and make it easier on
everybody. Some people like to walk around and look at everything. This is not the time to do that.
We could
go back to that later.
Yeah, wait.
Come in organized. So that's one.
Like a Navy SEAL raid. Just going to hit it.
That's right.
All right. So one is come in organized.
Have a list.
All right.
By department. And that will probably improve your speed by, you know, 50%.
All right. Anything else?
Just continue to use all the precautions at the CDC. Wash your hands.
Okay. So you had one big thing you want people to know.
Right.
Come in with a list in order of how the store is laid out. It'll get you in and out faster.
That's important.
And it's, you know, we could get other customers in there. And
right.
How's the toilet paper thing? Are we over that?
It is still tight. I mean, it's not as bad as it was, but, you know, there's still 80% of the aisle that is empty most of the time. So there's a lot of pooping going on.
Apparently so, yes.
So kids are home from school, people home from work. So all of that toilet paper is being used at home. But I do think there are people with closets and closets full.
Yeah.
A friend of mine is a plumber, and he went to an elderly couple's house, and both of their shower stalls were filled to the ceiling.
And both? So why are they showering?
Armageddon. Right. They are ready.
They're not.
Are they showering?
They must be doing sponge baths.
Yep.
Wow.
Taking a bath in the sink.
So they want one part to be clean, but
exactly. That's
it.
Right.
So
the important part, yeah.
Yeah. What else is going?
What else is...
All the cleaning stuff, right?
Like
hand
soaps.
Anything with bleach in it is hard to get. And we, of course, vaporize canned vegetables and frozen vegetables. We've got to wait for the next growing season. And then you've heard all the talk that meat is going to be scarce, especially pork right now with the plants and some chicken plants closed. So that's going to get a little bit tighter and probably see pricing go up because they're not going to have enough product. And you might not get the kind of chicken you want or whatever. So
right. That
is going to become tough to get.
All right, Bob, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Will be on WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com, audio on demand. Bob Lebon Jr., owner, president, and CEO of Lebon's Market, Watertown, Woodbury, Salisbury, Inn, and Prospect. Oliva. All right, thank you, Bob.
Stay safe, guys.
You too, brother. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. This is a really cool story that I saw, and I was like, we got to have our friend Trooper First Class Christine Geltema on the show to tell us this story. It's inspirational.
Okay.
Hello, Trooper Geltema.
Good morning.
Good morning. So,
how are you guys?
Good. Boy named Hunter.
Yes. Yes. He has a very rare disease. I believe it's 1 in 80 worldwide that have his disease. And a trooper from the state police, obviously, is a member of RVs for MDs. It's a Facebook group. They basically look for individuals that have RVs that are willing to donate their RVs for this period of time for medical people that want to decontaminate themselves, not stay in their homes to get their families sick, other things. So Trooper Muslin was in contact with Hunter's family, Hunter's mother, and said, hey, I have an RV. Are you guys willing to take it and use it? Because if Hunter were to get sick, he would probably die from this COVID. So,
yikes.
Yeah, so Trooper Muslin, who I should also mention, is a veteran as well, deployed.
Oh, man.
I know. So she dewinterized her RV and brought it over to Hunter's house, and Hunter's dad is still working and is living in the RV so Hunter and his mother can live in the house.
Wow.
There's no way that he can get sick. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and you know, we talk a lot about how being a trooper or police officer, we help a lot with the community, but we have a lot of troopers and police officers that go above and beyond, and this is not something that's abnormal for us. This is something that we do all the time. We have amazing troopers out there that are willing to help people, not just when they're in their uniform.
Yeah, our typical, you know, regular people contact with troopers is on the side of a highway.
Yep.
And we get a speeding ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and
not here, though.
Right. So we don't see all this other stuff that you're doing. The nice stuff.
When the hat comes off.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and, you know, a lot of times these people, they call us when they need us. For example, like car accidents. When you show up at a scene, you look at these people and you can actually see the sigh of relief that we're there to help them. Or even if it's some type of like domestic or any type of situation where people really need somebody to step in and help them. So,
well, we love this story.
Yeah.
And, boy, Hunter is a lucky guy.
Very.
And Trooper Muslin, very special trooper. So thanks for coming on and sharing that. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Keep up the good work.
You too.
Well,
you too.
We're just hanging out.
Yeah.
We get to talk about people doing really good work. So.
You have a really good team, so it's a lot of fun talking with you guys.
Most days.
Most days. Very good. Uh-oh.
It's Wednesday.
They're quiet today, so I'm doing all the work today.
I was going to say, what did we do today?
Yeah, really.
You were here until about 7, and then you guys decided to take the rest of the day. So, all right, Trooper First Class Christine Jeltsma, thank you for coming on.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For what you do.
Jazz and AJ News.
Okay, Governor Lamont was on earlier. Spent about 25 minutes with us. Covered a lot of ground. All of that will be up at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. Dr. Stephen Choi, Chief Quality Officer for Yale School of Medicine and Yale New Haven Health System, on the phone now. He's also Yale's coronavirus point person, so we got the right person on the phone here.
Yes.
Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate the weekly updates. What do we need to know?
Thanks for having me. Well, you know, I'm happy to say that the curve or the rate of rise, you know, continues to flatten this week. We've definitely seen a slowing down, particularly down in Fairfield County, where I live. And as expected, we're seeing upticks in some of those other counties further north and to the east, but overall, we're pretty steady, not going up. But we've got about 20,000 positive cases, you know, here in Connecticut. You know, unfortunately, the death toll has gone up as expected, because that, as you've heard, lags behind the number of cases and the number of hospital admissions. But across our health system, I'm happy to say, and I'm very proud to say, that we've discharged over 1,000 patients who've come into the hospital for COVID. And that's a remarkable feat amongst the doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, and the entire medical community.
Have we used any of those makeshift hospitals?
Yeah, so we have. So, you know, we call them field hospitals.
Field hospitals.
It's like those, for those of you old enough to remember MASH.
Yep, yes.
Well, still on.
Yeah, it's like those MASH units. So we do have a field hospital at multiple sites, and the one at Bridgeport we've been using. So we put patients in there that are what we call convalescing or recovering. And for a number of reasons, they can't just go home yet, even though they've recovered from the majority of the concerns with COVID. And that's where we've recovered then.
The CDC yesterday warned of a second spike and that it could be deadlier than this one. When would that come and why would that be?
Sure. So that's what people are referring to as that second wave. And the second wave, you know, is often used as a reference for either the reemergence of the virus after it's really been contained for a number of weeks or months. And it usually coincides with what we call that reopening of the community, the economy, the school. And so, you know, that could happen later this summer, it could happen in the fall, or the second wave could be used as a reference to what happens the next season, if in fact there's a real seasonality to this. So the concern that we have is that, you know, if we do open up too early, then we'll again be overwhelmed in certain parts of the country, in certain parts of the globe, and the, you know, the hardest hit area by far in the entire globe, you know, is not Italy, and it certainly wasn't China. It's New York. You know, it's
right
down the road from us.
Yeah.
And you know, we saw what happened there, which has been very, very tragic.
He was saying that it could be deadlier because, and it would happen in the winter when the flu comes back. We have the flu and coronavirus. And we won't be able to tell the difference, and some people can get both.
Sure. So that's always a risk, and that was a risk, you know, even this past late winter or early spring, where you could have what we call co-infections. And so, as you know, many of the respiratory viruses hit the hardest during the winter. And so there's a possibility there, too.
That would be the worst.
And there's also, yeah, and there's also the possibility of the virus mutating. And, you know, that scares us in the medical community that
yikes.
If it does mutate, could it be more invasive? Could it be more elusive in terms of how it's transmitted? But, you know, we haven't seen that with the other coronaviruses. And, you know, we didn't see that with SARS-CoV-1 in the early 2000s. So, you know, we want to be cautiously optimistic that won't happen either.
We had not an anti-vaxxer, but someone who said he's vaccine hesitant on a couple hours ago and said that every time this thing gets tested on animals, the animals die, the various vaccines for coronavirus. Is any of that true?
I have not read any reports of that. And, you know, we know that they're actually testing in humans now. So we've got trials where big pharmaceutical biomedical companies are testing the virus on real humans. So that is not something I've read in the medical literature. And perhaps he heard it, you know, as an anecdote or a story from a colleague or a friend, but I haven't seen that at all.
You have any stories from the front lines you can share with us?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to start with some, you know, real sort of heart-wrenching stories, also followed by some positive stories. And, you know, some of the hardest things, as you know, is that when these patients are admitted, you know, they don't have family members or loved ones able to visit them. And so that's probably been what's been most difficult for our staff, you know, apart from the physical toil it's taken to, you know, work these long hours and have these very excruciating shifts day in, day out. And that's, you know, watching these patients, you know, fortunately, many of them who have expired have to say their last goodbyes on their phone, whether it's
that's tough.
A Zoom connection.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, or FaceTime. And, you know, we've gone so far as to purchase iPads for those who don't have their personal phones with them. And that's tough. You know, it's really, really sad to see that. And, you know, a lot of my colleagues have, you know, been very emotional and distraught because of that. And, you know, across our system, you know, we've had instances where, you know, you have a mother and a daughter, both hospitalized, or
yikes.
A husband and wife, and a father and son. And you know, they're too ill to even FaceTime each other, even within the hospital. And those are the really, you know, tough stories. But, you know, on the other end of that, you know, like I said, we've had over 1,000 people that have been really ill, that have come to the hospital, that have been successfully treated. And, you know, when we send them out of the hospital, as you've seen on a bunch of other social media outlets, you know, we play a song on the overhead every time a patient leaves that's been treated successfully.
Right.
And that's such a...
Yeah, so this plays every time, right?
that is one of the many songs that...
You got a playlist going on.
So this
on right
is the
now,
one
yeah.
that Jennifer hears about 4 or 5 times a day.
Wow, that's great.
When they're rolling someone out.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. And I think Alex wanted to hear this, right? We have Ethan and Alex listening.
Yeah. That's for my daughter. She loves that song. And that, you know, that's one of the songs we've considered rotating. Currently we have the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun.
Right.
I heard that one too.
By Andra Day. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of my former colleagues in New York play the Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, Empire State of Mind.
Okay, yeah.
When patients leave.
Hopefully the censored version.
And that is an incredibly uplifting moment. And fortunately, it happens throughout the day. So
it's a good feeling. It's a good morale booster.
Yeah, when you hear the song playing, it's a good thing.
Well, Alex has a great, taste in music. Did she get that from Dad or Mom?
I think she got it from Dad.
He's going to take credit for this one. Why not? Go for it. You work hard.
Have you seen your kids yet?
Not yet.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, we do a lot of FaceTime.
Good.
And, you know, stay connected that way. Thank God for technology.
Right. Yeah.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank the community at large. And, you know, my partner and I, we did a very quick napkin calculation, but I think the communities in Connecticut have donated well over 1 million meals just to Yale New Haven Health. And I can't thank you enough to, you know, all those vendors, all those restaurants. It's been unbelievable. We feel so blessed.
If you have any leftover pizza, we're over here.
Yeah, no problem. We'll send the guy in a hazmat suit to get it.
Yeah. And you know, I feel very fortunate. I've a great group of friends who've also donated personal meals to me. And, you know, I want to thank you guys if you're listening and appreciate all the support. And, my scale might not be particularly happy to see all the weight I've gained, but
you're going to need a gym membership after this.
All of us have gained weight.
Yep.
Dr. Stephen Choi, thank you for what you do. Thanks to all the healthcare workers, really. Let's play that Journey song again for Alex and Ethan. And Alex and Ethan, thank you for loaning us your dad. We appreciate it. Dr. Stephen Choi, Chief Quality Officer for Yale School of Medicine and Yale New Haven Health System. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Be well.
Okay. So I messed up. I said Yale played that. It's a different hospital.
Oh.
Remember, Jennifer said... it's I Will Rise Up. Of course, I got a text immediately.
Right. He's in bold caps.
Yeah.
What did you know?
It's I Will Rise Up by Andrea or Andra Day that Yale plays.
Right.
Yes, dear.
Oops.
That I get texted immediately.
Right. Only
you could. I love Deep Purple.
That's a great
love
album.
Them.
And this was Richie Blackmore, everybody, you know?
Ah.
Yep.
I remember I met Richie Blackmore.
Oh, man.
Exactly, Sam. at the Village Pub. I know you're very good friends with him, but it was the first time I met him.
Yeah.
He's got the big black top hat on.
Yep, he loves that hat.
Who the hell would wear a stupid top hat like that?
Yep.
And I found out it was Richie Blackmore, and I get introduced. And as I'm holding his hand, I realize that I'm holding the hand that played one of the most famous rock riffs ever recorded.
Iconic rock
song. Smoke on the Water.
Exactly.
And right. I wouldn't let go of his hand, like, because it took that couple of seconds as I was.
Creepy.
And I could see he's like trying, he's pulling his hand. And,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, short conversation after that.
I spent some time in his tavern he has, the bottom, the downstairs of his house.
I heard
and
about
you have,
this
you
place.
You have to go through this hall of like gold and platinum records to get to it.
Ah, that's
and
so cool.
I remember him pouring me a beer, and that's the last thing I remember. They just kept, he likes to drink beer.
Right.
Oh my God. Yeah, the rest of the night's a blur.
That's fun.
Yep.
So he put a roofie in your beer.
No, I just drank a lot.
All right, Chaz and AJ in the morning. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, mopping up for another day of broadcasting. Final thoughts, AJ?
Yes, everybody, please continue to do the stay at home and the close quarters and all that. Just like end this stupid thing, okay?
Ashley?
Today is Earth Day. Yay.
Happy Earth
and, like,
Day.
Yeah, walk around.
Yes.
AJ says stay in. Ashley says go outside.
Well, walk around.
You know,
walk around.
Just enjoy the
Phil?
Sun for a second.
Guess he feels so happy. Chimed in.
Wait. Again.
Play it again.
Guess he feels so happy. Chimed in. I short-circuited earlier for those wanting to know. Please don't laugh so hard you drop dead. Guess he feels so lappy. Chimed in. Good night, folks. Chimed in.
What are you looking at in your computer? Why'd you turn your mic off?
I'm gonna set my final thoughts. Laughing you said term all the time.
You can't breathe.
No, you can't breathe? What a shame.
I'm
So you doing good?
Good.